White supremacy. It's an ugly term. One that I resisted, feeling that it cannot apply to me, to my friends, to my communities. Privilege. Privilege was a word that was easier to accept and recognize. I struggled and still struggle with reconciling the images of white supremacists with my faith community. However, those terms are not ones that I get to choose. They are terms that are applied based on the experiences of people who are oppressed by white supremacy and white privilege. And in the same way that I have through my lifetime named and will continue to name my experiences with male privilege, I have found that no matter how uncomfortable it makes me, I have to recognize others' experiences of white oppression as well. So, I came to that realization, and then I wondered, what do I do with it? So, at General Assembly, I went to a workshop entitled Spiritual Practices Regarding Whiteness. The people leading the workshop were all white, and most of the participants in the workshop, which was a full conference room, were white as well. And in that workshop, I heard from people who had experiences very similar to mine, who are finding ways to engage, to recognize, and to resist, in part through the development of spiritual practices that help them to deepen their own understanding of white supremacy and white privilege in their own lives and their communities. There were two stories that spoke to me specifically, so I'd like to briefly share them with you and then share some of the spiritual practices that I found helpful. One speaker talked about her experience of attending summer camp. The camp she attended used Native American names. They had tribes, and they were not Native American children. This spoke to me because I was a campfire girl. And in camp, and I went to campfire camp, which I loved. Our camp was called Wintaka. And we didn't have tribes. We had something called units, where we lived in our campground area. But the units had names like Kaloli and Tawa. And we wore full-length gowns with fringe on them to our ceremonials, and when we accomplished something, we got beads that we attached to our gowns. And I loved all of that when I was growing up. But now I think it was probably cultural misappropriation and wasn't appropriate. Another speaker told about having a good friend who is a person of color, and they talked and texted every day. One day, the speaker texted her friend just a real, you know, have a wonderful day with a smiley face, happy emoji. The friend didn't respond. The speaker in the workshop texted again, still no response. No response to emails or phone calls. And the speaker was able to learn through mutual friends that her friend was fine. She just didn't respond. And the speaker didn't know why. Several months later, the speaker's friend decided to tell her why she had stopped responding. The friend explained that the night before that have a wonderful day, happy face emoji text, another young black man had been killed by police. And the friend didn't know how her friend could be so out of tune with her to just send that innocuous, banal, have a happy day text when she was trying to deal with that emotion that came up from that. And the speaker explained that now, yes, they talk, but they have not been able to return to the friendship they had before. So the speakers shared several spiritual practices that are working for them. One they called accountability buddies. These accountability buddies are like a network of trusted people that you can count on to hold you accountable for how you are in the world, for how you stand up, for how you are sensitive and remain aware to other people's experiences. Another practice that I thought was really fascinating is they called it concentric circles of caring. So in that model of spiritual practice, those who are most directly affected by oppression are centered. And in the concentric circles, caring goes in and processing things like culpability, complicity, guilt for our part in any kind of oppression, that goes out. So in other words, we are not, those people who participate in this model are not asking people affected by oppression to help them process through becoming better. They're processing with others and caring for people who are oppressed. It's not their job to help people who are part of the majority group feel better about themselves. My hope in sharing these things is that we can learn to use some of these tools and spiritual practices to deepen our awareness. Perhaps these practices can help us use our faith in proactive ways to acknowledge, expose, and resist the culture of white supremacy, whether we find it out in the wider world or closer in, and even in ourselves. Thank you.